tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story from the world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Kindergarten. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And that's me, Bill Grant. Welcome back to another episode of Argon on Revolution Radio, the donation station. We do need your donations really bad, actually. So get what you can to keep us on air, to keep free speech alive, keep the dream alive for one. And not exactly sure what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm still trying to gather my thoughts. I have Zero Hedge up, and I'll check into chat. I'm kind of tired out again. It's been raining kind of nonstop here for a while, which is good in the sense it warmed everything up. Bad for feet, bad for walking dogs and stuff like that. But it keeps the cat in, safe from the coyotes, which are really close again. I mean, next door close and right behind the, call it a house, right behind us at night. Possibly feet away behind the opposite side of the wall last night, technically this morning. Tomorrow, I had hoped Pony, our friend Pony here, Pones, was going to be able to call in pretty soon. When we planned on it, I wasn't available. We didn't have internet. So after that, I'm not sure what happened. I didn't have internet on and off there. But I don't know, the cat's starting to look like a fat cat, though. A little Prego. He's orange, so, I mean, Prego might be the name. Might be his name, oh, her, does almost 100% girl. I'm not going to lift it up to really, really check. But we're getting the domestic side of the cat back, all the wildness just about out. being able to pet the cat on a regular basis now. So instead of the cat just simply petting me, I might try to look up the things to do with Fusion with Mike Adams, if not possibly tomorrow night again. A few kind of minor visions I have had to do with the future and maybe now. Oh, a disaster. Major disaster. I mean, it was days ago I saw this. And maybe a future fish that'll be found or genetically modified kind of thing. I started seeing visions. I ended up waking up. I didn't think to really pay attention. I started to, things just moved ahead into one scene after the next. So I don't know what I missed. That's the problem, isn't it? And then if you do see it, then you have, there's trouble remembering it, at least clearly waking up. And I can remember names and stuff like that. I can remember partial whole numbers, combination lock stuff, phone numbers, only partially, and I can't really remember the rest in detail when I think I'm going to a lot. But, and places, and street signs. This time, major disaster, though, and I'm trying to, I don't know where, kind of in a North American-type setting, either way, the kind of woodsy area, not a forest. Might be Manhattan. There was a minor symbol for that. Might be an area where there's it could be anywhere in reality. But I was sort of in a setting kind of normal to here. Woodsy, grassy fields, actual regular lawn grass, hills and mountains, mountainy, hilly, mixed with plains, flatlands and stuff. But I was kind of at the base of a statue when I saw this vision. It was mostly symbolic mixed with reality. And, well, the date right now, first of all, is the 27th, and it's 7 past 10. 1-27-2024. And just about two-thirds of the way through main winter months. And now it's really hot after it was really cold. It's still a lot of windstorms. Still nothing can get done for me. And 10:08 p.m. North American East Coast Station Time. But this is Argonne again, our donation station, so donate. And to get back to the disaster, is basically something to do with either a tornado or a hurricane, more than likely. And what happened was I was sort of on a minor hillside, kind of like, when I say hill, I mean, sometimes I mean like the slopes that guide roads, and they're hills, but, you know, they're not like the things that hold back the holding walls either. They're much bigger. It could vary in all kinds of sizes, on up to a small mountain kind of hill. But I was sort of on this hill along behind some kind of important building off a main road. And it was a grassy, not mowed grass kind of grass up against the woods in a little hill that went up and then opened up after a little hill you go over. So a hill on the left, it was like holding in, surrounding the yard. So in the backyard of this place, I was at the back left corner. I started looking in when sort of like a giant hand off to the right from the air sort of tossed towards the back in front of me a whole bunch of houses, apartment complexes and trucks and cars. I'm not exactly sure what else. Large complexes. I could see them clearly. It wasn't that they were toys. They weren't made of plastic. It was like they were solid, real homes, clearly seen as real homes, but they were like shrunken down to, like the truck was two-thirds the size of a regular, kind of an old-fashioned truck, pickup truck. Dark navy to black for that one. So That was tilted upside down, half tilted, straight up and downish almost, where it landed. Things landed, sort of rolled into place. But it was like large apartment complexes, single ones, big ones, and some regular homes. Like they were tan. Well, I remember some were just tan, kind of old fashioned, like balsa wood siding. So that might give a clue as to where it is in the world. Who knows? And so it just all landed in front of me. And the apartment complexes and homes were shrunken down to like 10 feet, 6 feet for a home here and there, maybe like 8 feet. The apartment complex was like a 10 foot long rectangle. Two or three floor. So that represents a major disaster. Shown in a nice way, it slips into the mind easy when you don't see things too directly. And when you don't have any arguments about it, when your mind doesn't say, I don't believe you, I don't believe that, it's illogical, you erase all that. So it's better not to have total clear visions all the time. Eventually, the right kind of mind wouldn't argue that anyway. It would, wouldn't need it symbolically and wouldn't need to be like worry about seeing bloodshed and actual blood and stuff. And I used to like horror movies, so I'm not really squeamish. I'm actually a little more squeamish now in a way than I used to be because it all means something now. Something serious and deep and seriously painful and bad and end of life. Permanent bad rest of your life kind of situations, destroyed futures, destroyed dreams, and pain is really painful. It doesn't just simply hurt, you know. It hurts. Pain hurts. And we used to say death is fatal, and sometimes death is better. But I was seeing a bunch of posters and TV screens and stuff and hearing things through radio a little bit. I don't really remember what those were exactly. I've seen some people. I seen some military stuff and more people living in not really shelters, like not exactly like large storage facilities that you live in or at least come and go to from another little storage facility closet or something. I have to remember not to lose your damn password when you're homeless and stuff and or life is chaos. You got to make sure you remember your numbers and have your proofs and have your keys. Make sure you don't lose your keys. And that's what's going to happen a lot to a lot of people. They're going to lose their code numbers and passwords and stuff and locker numbers, combination locks and stuff. And so be forewarned. A lot of that's coming. That's one of the reasons there are going to be more and more and more storage units. And it's one of the reasons where they don't want you to end up living in them. They're going to make sure there's security there. And they're going to prop it up as if security is a good feature for you to watch your stuff so it doesn't get stolen when it shouldn't anyway. And no, it's to keep you out from living in there secretly or openly. And really, it's nobody's business. And it's like, oh, but then the law and permits and going to the bathroom. And you know what? You're just so far gone from real nature. It's not funny anymore. You're all gone. It's all over. You don't understand how to go from natural living to do what you must do anywhere at all with no permission and go to the bathroom where you want. Now, the idea is you certainly don't want it all over the place where you're going to be walking in. You don't want it to be too bad, of course. You have to do what you have to do until you're sophisticated enough to, for everyone has a way to use it or hide it or put it in a good place. But life is harsh. That's the reality. Life is naturally harsh and naturally without laws. And you're backing and have been backed into a corner in every single way imaginable. Till you keep looking at everything in a snobbish way, in a permanent snobbish way. It's not going away. It's never going to go away. Oh, that's too good for you. That's too good for us. That's too good for society. We're civilized now. We have to make laws now. You don't need that. You can. No, people don't just simply See, this is how nature works. Recycling is what keeps nature going. Recycling all products. Everything goes to the bathroom outside. Everything does. Every pond, every river, every stream, the oceans, the little ones, the big ones, the wide ones, the thin ones, the deep ones, the shallow ones. Every single one of them, all life goes to the bathroom everywhere. You're surrounded by it totally. You swim in it. You walk in it. You walk around it. You walk through it. You camp amongst it. It doesn't sit around. Everything gets recycled pretty rapidly. It doesn't matter what you do. And if you start getting more and more snobby and demanding, now, I do not have this problem. It's not why I'm saying it. But people keep backing themselves into a corner where none is needed, where no law is needed. Most people who can have more sanitized, more modern living would and will if they could, if they had upward living and constant creation, constant innovation, constant upgrade without being torn down by Zionist types, constantly eroded, constantly destroyed, constantly interrupted, taxed to death, permitted to death, slowed down, stonewalled, lied to, scared off, bribed off, killed off, basically tortured and medically tested, and bio-weaponized and bio-hit. Now we go from bio-bombs to love bombs. Love bombs are an emotional weapon. A lot of people are getting love-bombed right now, aren't you? Well, a lot more con artists out there trying to pretend they love you than ever before, and it's only going to get worse. So all the weak ones out there, all the naive ones, they're all going to get hit. They're all going to get hit. And it's about time they caught up. They'll learn. People, all things that are learned the hard way, that aren't learned by the intellectual way, the easy way, the intellectual way. You're either a true intellectual or you're nothing. And it doesn't mean you're nothing, like you're crap. It means you must and you will, as a matter of 100% fact, learn it the painful way. And you need it. You need it and you deserve to. And that's evolution. You're supposed to evolve and get hurt and hit and battered and beaten and hurt each other until you're sick of doing things the hard way. And still until you start using your mind and your mind alone, reason. It's supposed to be the age of reason, the age of logic, the age of logos. Piecing things together, gnosis, knowledge. Piecing pieces of knowledge together and seeing what the big picture and puzzle comes out to be. And thinking things through, thinking ahead of time. Instead of learning after it's all done and resisting the lesson. And the more you resist, well, the more likely you are your resistor is to going to get blown. You know, wires and resistors, electricity, all to do with life. The symbols of life, the actualities of life. And, oh yeah, you turn into a resistor and you got energy and trying to be given to you. All you want to do is not use the energy, just do what you want to do. No, you're a circuit that's getting blown. You're getting burnt up. That's the end of your life. That's how life happens and goes away. It's kind of the secret of life. Wiring has a lot to do with life, not just thinking in computers and electricity and life force and life units and energy units. No, it has to do with learning how to not resist truth, knowledge, what should be obvious, change. Change for the better, not the worse, of course. And becoming clear and superconductive. To be a superconductor. And that super magnetic personality that way. That's what you get with that. So, you know, energy is supposed to flow. Life force is supposed to flow. Or you die. And too much goes in and you resist too much. You get blown up. Your circuit blows. Your life is over. And too little, you got your average resistance and you get too little current in you, you just stop it. It just too the flow just got too slow. Just wasn't enough energy to keep you going. Again, you die. You're done. You're over with. Try again. Try again. Keep trying again. But anyway, everyone's backed into a corner. A logic corner. A snobby, snottish domestication corner. I'm civilized. No, you're not civilized. You're idiots. You backed yourself into a corner. You thought all your choices were, I'll just become this and I'll just become that and I'll aim for this and I'll go to school for that, instead of being all that you could be, period. You're supposed to be all that you can be. Supposed to learn all that you can learn, do all that you can do, have every skill set that you can have. It's a survival skill set. People's concept of survival is what's died. Really, other than being out for yourself to make money. That's a new type of thinking about what survival is and isn't. You're not bringing it down to earth. Hard, harsh, painful reality. Food, air, water, shelter, blah, blah, blah. Comfort, warmth. And do what you have to do until you don't have to do it. And it doesn't mean steal. In some cases, it probably would be okay for some thieves to steal from the right, wrong, bad, snotty people. And depends on what happened to the thief that made him become a thief. On the other hand, we got to get rid of all thieves and all crime on earth. That's what clogs down, slows down, eventually stops up all the pipes in society, causes all the real resistance in society as a whole. It comes crashing down. It's over. Practically all in one night, just like Atlantis. So Atlantis keeps repeating either way, doesn't it? So Atlantis would be Aslantis or Aslandis. Stuff like that. You don't know. And America was supposed to be the new Atlantis. And that could mean a bunch of things. Really, they just wanted a capital for the new Atlantis. Another new capital or a new state. And they really wanted to own the world, not Atlantis. You know, when Atlantis was around, there were still other major massive cities like the one it came before it. So it wasn't like it owned the whole world. It traveled the world, supposedly, or major seas. The whole known world was really the Mediterranean Sea at one point. I mean, by Alexander the Great time, I don't know, something like that. Someone, maybe further back and further back. I mean, really, that was the entire known world. I'm pretty sure it was Alexander the Great, which was really Alexander the Greek. When Alexander the Greek conquered the entire Mediterranean, all that entire around, you know, Africa, Middle East, all around, you know, went through Egypt and all. He evaded going to the East, as in the Far East. Something turned him around, and the Brotherhood say they did it. They are the reason he didn't go and conquer there. And it was a sign he was showing of a bird or eagle or something like that. I don't remember what it was. He was going to go forward into the east, like to China and India, so on, India to China and everything. Instead, he diverted and eventually circled around, I think, back into, I don't know if it was Saudi Arabia or just the upper, just up above that, and then across to Egypt and onward again, and then he got stuck in the desert and did that whole famous thing where one of his soldiers, they haven't had a drop of water for days or whatever it was, you know, practically dead and dying. And so when somebody found just a little, like after the dawn or something, still a little area of water that was left from an oasis, he put a cup of water. I mean, he cupped his hands and made, just scooped up the last of the water in the entire desert. Now, there's like 1,000 men behind him or thousands or something, whatever it was. Alex at the front, at ahead and leading the way. Everywhere they went, they succeeded. I admire that in a way. A big part of me admires it. On the other hand, they were conquerors. I really hate that. They conquered a lot for the right reason half the time, and shared a lot, like I always say. And they were fighting actual true barbarians most of the time anyway. No rightful group should ever allow the surrounding universe, world, or anything to conquer them. I mean, when everyone's sort of a anything goes, if everybody around you has got some king or priest ahead of everything telling everybody what to do, you got to conquer them. You can't let them grow and conquer you. You got to conquer them before they conquer you. They believe in conquering. Their own people are a conquered people. When you meet a conquered, controlled people, you must conquer them to free them. If your ways are better, more rightful, scientific, and actually better for super uplift and equality of life, and it guarantees the savages aren't going to bring you down and bring you down to their level, tell you what to do, and illogical, idiotic thoughts of beliefs in gods that are crazy and all kinds of stuff, torture kind of issues and all kinds of stuff. No, you either try to make friends. It depends how friendly they are. I mean, even the king. I mean, it really depends on the king and everything as a whole, how many there are, if they're going to really grow too fast, if they immediately hate you, and they may have... It depends. There's a lot of factors, right? But I understand all conquerors, and I do not want to be one. You know, like I say, I'd rather be fishing, and you know what the fish say. So, they don't like it. No, they don't want me fishing. And kind of sick of fishing anyway. So one of his soldiers scoops up the last of the water, for those who don't know this. You know, it's taught in school and college. This is one kind of famous thing that happened a little bit, right? So this is why he's known for being great, one of the great things about him. He's truly charismatic and tried to be truly righteous in his own barbaric mind. And came up with the Library of Alexandria, too. So the gathering of all knowledge. And basically, in the palm of someone's hand was the last of the water. They brought it up finally to Alexander the Great to give it to him for being such an awesome, incredible leader everybody admired and followed. For being a superior fighter in his own right, by far, super intellect on his own, also his own right, a thinker, was a philosopher type king, you could say. They gave him the water, or they had it in a little bowl. It might have been a little bowl, yeah, like a little cup or something, maybe a little wooden cup. I don't know. I can't remember. In any case, they brought it up to him. It was certainly not enough for the whole crowd to drink, with no freaking way. So they wanted the leader to survive. They brought it to him. Now, the one who found it could have been the one to drink it. Didn't think he was important enough. And Alex said, whatever, something, 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 and he poured it into the desert sand to dry up. The last of the water in the whole desert that they knew of. If everyone can't drink it, neither can he. Neither can I. And that's the kind of thing that makes greatness great. But do we know that's a story propped up by the kings to make them look good? We don't really know. You know what? It's probably true. That is his true personality. And I think he's the one who ended up dying because he started being more and more open-minded about, first of all, women and like harems or something he was with and making love to or something, instead of just being gay, like I think he was anyway, bi or something, with a lot of them the way a lot of them already were. Started wanting the women, but it was more like, it was like a harem of them or something in a room. So his friend caught him with them, or I don't know how the story goes exactly. Of course, I don't never have time to re-research anything. And so he was getting too open-minded. He was getting too soft. So they killed him. His friend killed him. And that was the end of it. And that's how sagas begin and end, don't they? Now, somebody else took over, and eventually, supposedly, the whole thing fell apart. When it really didn't, we have the Club of Rome now. The Club of Rome really was always like the Catholic Church and stuff. And their influence spread all the way to England and more. And still, everything still hangs around. It's kind of all, everything's a mix. Everything's kind of the same. Comes from all the same source. But ultimately, Alexander the Great was interested in Atlantis. And Atlantis most likely was just simply somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. Hell, we probably already found it many times outside of the Eye of the Sahara and the Rakat Eye, with the CH for the C or K sounding part of it. The Rochet Eye or something like that. You know, AT, I think it ends with, maybe even an E at the very end. But, the Nile kind of went straight down to it. Like the Nile or some river connected to the Nile and another river connected to the Nile basically went from the Mediterranean Sea right alongside the pyramids at Giza down into Africa, going southward, but slowly meandering kind of a little more and more left until it went straight across just under the Sahara Desert in the through the foresty section all the way across the entire all of Africa, right out to the outside of the other side, right to the Eye of the Rakat. Rivers would always guaranteed be the main source of travel and the main known roads of all travel on all maps, period, end of story. Isn't any ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no way Egypt didn't know where that river went, came and went to and from. And everybody that went up and down it, and everyone who went up and down it or lived near it at all, would have all known each other or heard about each other or traded or fought each other, period, from one side of Africa all the way to the other. And it supposedly also cut straight through to like the Red, what is it, the other ocean, not the Mediterranean, but through the Bering Straits or whatever, out somewhere around where it comes out, where like not the Congo, what do you call it, Nigeria, maybe Nibiru. There's like a, of course we heard of Nibiru. What's the other ones like that? I can't think of it right now, but right on the far right side. So the river at one point went clear straight through one side to the other. And like the Saudi Arabian Peninsula would have been involved in that, where it would come out. And that's also one of the fabled places of Atlantis. And Madagascar is one of the ancient places they talked about as well, connected to like paradise and stuff like that. But the new Atlantis eventually started gaining more and more again and again, and eventually to America. And America, hell, they may have considered Atlantis Rhode Island, because the Isle of Rhodes, the Templar pirate state, the education state of which Atlantis is about. Atlantis was about education and more like the Greek version of a bunch of things. The ancient Greeks, philosophers, kind of logics and stuff like that. That's where a lot of it came from. But the whole entire world was really essentially what I just said in the Mediterranean. By the time all that was conquered, that was the known, entire known world. So Atlantis would have probably had to fallen in that, not way outside the other, way, 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 way out across the other side of the planet, across the ocean. Of course, it could have. But people want the more fantastical answers. They want to feel fantastic. They want to feel possibilities are more expansive and open, meaning you, we have greater possible chances of surviving and have a greater wonderful fantasy future. Just get real. It could be. It might be. There are reasons to think that's true. Probably just simply the Eye of the Rakat. Before that, maybe it was one of the land masses. A lot of people believe in, with some fair logic, the Earth was shrunken and all the continents were one, and there was no ocean. And years before that, I knew the main theory about where the ocean came from was inside of the Earth. It came out of the inside and squirt upwards and outward, filling up the land. And especially if the Earth was expanding more and more and more, or thawing out. Because if the planet was made of a bunch of frozen, solid comets, iron or not, iron dust and frozen ice, endless comets, endless ice, pulled together, gravitated to make the planet, it would have been a whole bunch of water inside the planet. It would have all melted, it would have all got crushed. Melted, 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 crushed, 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 crushed. It would eventually cool down more and more and more and more, but everything would settle, 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 crush, freeze, thaw, freeze, thaw, freeze, thaw, settle, 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 roundish, round, more and more round, more round. And eventually, bam, it would rise up a little more, rise up a little more, rise up a little more, and one day, that's it. If the Earth entire outside crust split apart, the whole world was one. Atlantis could have been anywhere in the world, never had really an ocean around it. Maybe had a little pond around it. A pond ocean, kind of, you could say. We don't really know. And then the world expanded multiple times, many times in history, and the water came up. But eventually, you know, all that ice would have been melted, and it would have been heating up more and more, expanding more and more. It would have shrunk and then expanded. So it would have shrunk from being ice into water, then the water would have warmed up and then expanded back again, and many places would have way overheated. And if the Earth finally one day, being one continent, started expanding and split, everywhere it split down in between all the continents would be where all the water would come up, and that's where all the oceans are. It's where all the oceans are in between us. Right along all the ridges, the volcanic ridges. So I will not say why I think the Earth might have been small and then expanded anymore. Someday I will sell that in a book, say it in an event where I will make some real money again. And there might only be one person I would do that for free for. And if we have a way to do events and symposiums, if people care, if people are kind of sick of the free stuff and want some real quality stuff or want to know who to support, like the station here, need to support it, keep it on air. We need donations bad, I remind you. And don't be holding back thinking you could just wait for another day. Hell, and by that time, the station will be gone. Everybody will be holding back. You're always going to have reasons to hold back. And you're going to have more and more and more friends and more and more and more relatives all getting hurt, 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 or needy, 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 need, need, need. And it's more and more and more and more and more thieves, 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 cons, cons, cons. And you're going to have less and less and less while the prices go up and up and up and up and up. And remember how we've been reminded by the Greek, who I reminded someone last night about the world is already taken over and still confused. Are we going to have vegetables? Yeah, sure. If you want like an orange, $8. Okay, now I didn't get the $8. That's not from me. That's from the Greek. And he's right. He's right about a lot of things. I think he's wrong about a few things. Still, it's like a partial truth thing. Partial truth. I do not and will not stay in any cults. And he's not really in a cult. Not really. Anyway, but I'm being roasted here. I got to take this shirt off. Hold on. Sure. There'll be plenty of food to buy. It's all going to come from Bill Gates Farms. It's all going to have poisons, GMO, and nanotech inside of it. And then it's going to be irradiated with x-rays and so-and-so and microwaves. And it's going to be bagged and tagged and cleansed with chlorinated water and fluoridated water and whatever else they're going to do. And then finally get to you, and then you'll pay the top dollar for it. And then they'll bag it in a nitrogen-rich bag, which a lot of things like nitrogen, not just plants. A lot of things. Yeah, look it up. Look up what nitrogen feeds. Yeah. Yeah, it's something you don't want in your body. Okay? Not at all. So, yeah, a single orange will be $8. Okay, now, most things are going to cut down unless they expand the food choices in a way, because it'll be more international and they'll have already made some allyship treaty deals and they're mandatory mercs and mercantilism, mercantilation, and to keep us together, to keep us as one, you know, between Mexico, Canada, America, and then the rest of the world and so on. Sure, you know, don't want to hold back, you know, carbon credit stuff and things like that, carbon cap and tax and trade and sink and source and so on. Just like David Mecki was talking about, another great show for them and Solaris and Steve on there. What's his last name? Steve. Oh, damn it. I can't remember his name. I was going to bring up some of what he was talking about. The whole, there's too many competing theories as to what happened in the ancient past and how far back ancient really means ancient. I mean, from creation to natural evolution of the planet or not. But as far as, see, Steve was talking about, I've met Steve here and there, like we never became friends or anything. But, you know, he would recognize me and stuff. I'd see him here and there. He had his booth. I did his booth. Of course, he did the EM testing and implant testing on me. And all those events were pretty exciting and fun. Years ago, you'd hear about them. Most people couldn't go. It was too far on the other side of the country. And most of them were in California or different major places, Colorado and stuff, and just here and there in New York. Sometimes in New York, different kinds of shows in New York, every kind of show in New York. But it wasn't really about events. Could be UFO events, energy, science stuff, anything. But, you know, when you're sick of the same people out there over and over again, and I like them all. I really like them all. I think they should be relevant. It's all about the masses. It's not about you and me. They're talking to and from, because the world has a certain jeer, peer pressure behind it always, certain general viewpoint of disdain or particular like for UFOlogy or something, anything. A lot of people are in the either get stuff free mode or just pass the time, pass your life by until you die mode. And everything's just simply entertainment. That's nice. That's interesting. That's interesting, too. Yeah, I'll think about that. They'll think about it till they die. They'll never do anything. And they really want the cheap symposiums and cheap events. And we kind of have a stalemate of a lot of the same people. And I still like and I would like to see a lot of the same people for years. But still, really everything's taken up. It's already the same thing over and over again. And all ideas are in complete competition. And when you get the good stuff, they usually either steal it or they hear it because someone said something important like me, and it slowly got around, and then it became like anyone can grab it legally thing because it's in the public eye. And, hey, I heard this and I heard that, and my friend from the CIA said that. Well, he said it because I said it. Now, people like me are losing our shirt and have, and I'm wearing a shirt that fell apart, and every day pulls apart a little bit more when I touch all the holes that rotted out, because I pulled it out of the tote that I lost about $500 worth of damage just last month. It was fine. It was one of my good ones left, one of the good totes left, full of my, like, $500 worth of suits, and all different suits, and like I said, one of them was Patrick Kennedy's, as in the Kennedy's, suit from, I don't know if it was 50 years old or 30. Not sure exactly from what time period it came from, by my friend Linus, friends of the Kennedys. And a lot of my shirts that I liked. Now, the shirts were okay. I could have lost them. It was all right. They're just kind of cheap shirts, but I liked them. And one I really liked a lot. Still technically just a cheap shirt, but all my suits are gone. They're all ruined. The one I wore in the movie 27, oh no, that was outside Providence. The suit I wore now as my character, as a student, in the movie Outside Providence, it ruined. I've been saving it for years just fine. I've been planning on wearing it again. It's ruined. Those are the things I care about. I didn't care about my other few $100 suit stuff. I had at least three good ones, four or five. I had stuff from the 50s, 60s, something from my dad. Things given to me. Passed on down to me. Well, anyway, the clothes started rotting and getting the rot in between them. And I brushed and cleaned and scraped and pulled things off. Because I don't believe in waste. And, you know, I'm sort of half homeless. So I had planned on pulling them out and using them. And when I finally got to that good tote, the good tote was no longer a good tote. It had no less than four major holes where all the holes form in the top corners. In the cover, where it scoops up the rain, because the weight from the stuff on top presses down, 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 stretch, 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 pop. Little hole, little hole, little hole of four holes. No less than four holes. All the rain goes to the bottom. The top is covered completely, no problem. The bottom is not. Rain just kept filling it up right to the top. Stayed in there rotten. So, I know I sidetracked again. I got to get back to everything. Damn it. Don't forget, some kind of major hurricane tornado is going to whack a town. Some large building. They're large buildings and small. And like it's going to toss cars and trucks. Toss them. They're going to be tossed. They're going to be ripped right off their foundation. That's what's going to happen. That's coming. In reality, it could be a wave, but it was an aerial phenomenon because it was a hand of God from the air that I saw. And I didn't feel an earthquake. But anyway, the clothes I'm wearing, I got them, you know, in a way they weren't that bad. Some were super massively mold stained and rust stained and rust metal things all fused into the fabric. I had to pull them out, be holes. And eventually I washed them in the washer and dryer, and then they're just full of holes, sort of okay. And put them on. They felt pretty good. I'm just going to wear them down because I don't believe in waste. And basically, every day they rip a little more because it's so full of holes, my finger will touch them. They're kind of like the fabric's kind of ruined. And but I'm warm and finally warmed up to the point where I had to take all of my clothes off and all of my blankets off for two nights in a row. In fact, I'm sweating now. I had to take them all. I wear five layers and then the undies for my legs, two pair of socks, and that's the lower half. And then I begin everything with five T-shirts, something like that, three long sleeve shirts, thicker and thicker and thicker. One so comfortable that they were all ruined, all but one. And then like a two oversized T-shirts over those shirts. And then two sweaters, and then, finally like what is it? Five more layers of actual like overcoats, kind of like hoodie coats, winter ones. Over that, I usually sleep with, depending on how cold, a bunch of different layers. Well, it went from 9 degrees out to like 65, 70. I mean, sweltering, super humid, so much humidity that my boxes that were stacked for years in the same place, three in a row. Separate times throughout the same, like without, like throughout a 5 to 10 hour period, just sagged and fell over while I'm trying to sleep. It was that humid. They just got wet, damp, damper, 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 wet, soggy, 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 collapse, fall, crash. Three of them. So that's been my week. Oh, but the cat's doing good. Ah, poor little baby rat, my brat, the one that I was a drowned rat I saved. It's so humid in there. He doesn't want to sit in his jar anymore. It's like too humid. He sits on top of it now. He's like, it's dry. He's got like part of it's wet. It's kind of tilted, so there's always a dry side, even if the condensation fills up a little bit in the corner in the one side. So he's all right as far as that goes. But I don't know. There were some other visions, but the fish. Yeah, I'll get to. Oh man. Okay. First of all, the disaster. I was sort of in the corner of where the hills. It was just like those, like at the back of the yard is like, you know, surrounded by woods on the right. It kind of comes inward to the middle of the yard a little, and woods all along the entire left side. And that does not merge. And then there's like a wall. There's sort of a surrounding between the whole place. It might indicate some place in the geography where this really is going to take place. And there's like a 10, 15 foot mound wall of dirt slash hill separating the backyard from past the backyard. And the main hill on the left stays a hill permanently. But there's sort of a starts to widen, open up past that. But see, in the corner of the two hilly sections, there's a mound that there was a statue on. It was an art statue, but it kind of represented in a way the Burning Man. And it also sort of represented the Statue of Liberty. Now, it did not look at all like the Statue of Liberty. It looked kind of like a weird modern art made of iron and cloth and something. It was like brown steel, black iron, bulbous hand, raising up, sort of reaching out like the Burning Man straw figures would. It's like standing up, sort of reaching out and up or something, almost like holding the Statue of Liberty book or something. I don't know, like, it was looking in the direction of the disaster. It was aiming at an inward angle into this yard. It was like a place known for art. Hell, it might be a museum in reality or a college of art or something, major known one. And which also was in New York, the art museums there. So it had like white patches wrapped around it, almost like gauze or something, some kind of white wraparound head. And just nothing, it was weird looking. It was kind of a weird looking thing. It was about 20 feet tall. And part of the time I was on it, and I had to, the point was, it was really the idea sort of told me I needed to really get on it, up on top of it, to look down better at what the disaster was. And I only did that partly, and only for a moment. So I really didn't really get it too deep to be more accurate. But then the other stuff, the future stuff, was being shown to me. I forgot a bunch of things. Most of it was nothing, just melodramatic stuff. But the fish thing, I started seeing the visions showing things that were happening in images on the wall. And I mean, this is like in a dream, but that a dream that becomes a vision, future seeing and connecting and stuff. So it becomes more of a dream, somewhat lucid. Then there was fish. So I think they were GMO fish or newly found fish, but they had to be genetically modified stuff, kind of things I would create. So they were sort of like, it's a little hard to describe. They're really pretty cool looking, only like, they glowed blue. They were semi-translucent. And certain parts were more solid than other translucent blues, light blues in the darker glowy. It glowed. They glowed. Actually glowed blue. Not super bright, just a little bit. And they were kind of upright like a seahorse, but it was a fish. And I know seahorses really are fish, but I think they are. Are they? They're marsupial kind of things. Something like that anyway. Underwater versions. But they're really smooth and kind of sort of dolphin-like. Like the head, like it was like, had a very, very, it was very smooth and round. Was no like, there was no like fins. I mean, no like scales. It was nothing like that. It was upright. It had a bigger head on top than the tail on the bottom. And sort of kind of bulbous, almost teardrop shaped. And it didn't go to a sharp point, at least not till the very bottom. It was like, they were like 5 inches tall, four, 5, 6 inches. I don't know, something like that. And they were kind of like upright, like a seahorse, but definitely a fish. Kind of like a dolphin, kind of dolphinish. They look like, we have this little fish, also kind of reminded me of. These are going to be in fish tanks, displayed here and there, to be bought at some point. Hell, it could be another world. Who the hell knows, right? Or it could have been an alternate path or whatever. So, or somebody's plan that's never going to really happen, not in the normal world. So, but I was shown it, and everyone thought they were really cool. But there was going to be like a clam, sort of flounder-shaped, stony-looking, white tan with little brown line markings all over clam-shaped fish. It's a fish. It's going to be a fish, maybe a clam without a shell, that rests on the bottom like a flounder, like a sort of like a flounder. And the eyes are going to be a little big. It's really going to be like shape of a clam. It's not really going to be the shape of a flounder. It's going to kind of flop around. And kind of odd things. Who knows? I don't know. I don't really know. Most of the things I see that gets, looks like they end up doing happening. All right, more later. More soon. 5 minutes. Time to donate. We need your donations to keep us in air. It's the donation station, so you don't get commercials. Just station promo breaks like this one. This is Argon on Revolution Radio. Back to 5-ish. Donate.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Studio B. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
tune in to the Family Industrial Complex podcast here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, every Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Get fit, empowered, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Argon with Bill Grant, only at Revolution Radio.
And I'm back, hopefully not too close to the mic. Anyway, I'm too hot, too cold kind of situation between the humidity and the heat. It's kind of right on the line, and it just started really pouring again. Anyway, welcome back to Argon and Revolution Radio, the donation station that we really needed. You, the listener, only listeners to have donated during the break. That way, you finally have a place to go where there are no real commercials and no big money is going to steer what people believe and away from what they don't want you to, you know, what you to hear and us to say. So we have the remnants of free speech, more or less. Here on this platform, it's the only way you're going to really get anyone to say what they really believe without being heckled and demonetized and all that and dumped off of all the major mass media outlets. See, they're an outlet. They're an outlet of steam, outlet of pressure. They're pressure outlets. Outlets are designed by big corporations on purpose to have a way to disseminate their propaganda and their stuff, their this, their that, and finally get stuff to the masses, the propagandized masses, the super conditioned from birth to death masses, basically slaves. Uh-oh, kitty here, kitten here. Stay with. He's heading towards the keyboard. And my notes, which I reminded myself to get to the Atlantis-Cecil Rhodes connection. It's not really a show about Atlantis, but I talked about the future genetic modified little creatures now. They're going to show you the good things and the cool things that don't die right away or within 3 days. Wait, look out. This is a little Siamese kitten starting to look like a cat, not a kitten anymore. Might start meowing. All right, just stay back. I can't stop it from getting here. Exactly. Well, I could if I clogged up the door and wasn't really a problem earlier. Now, we'll see. Okay. So not my red wild cat becoming domesticated, which is probably sleeping now because it's raining. And coyotes have been real close anyway, like next door. Like I said, I would rather the cat be in and not get eaten by a coyote. Oop, yeah, probably barely survived him many, many times. So once the cold weather passed and it got really warm, then, oh, first of all, the spiders came out. So a lot of the little spiders that I didn't kill and didn't get eaten, little black and red ones, I kept seeing those kind of around my bed. And I kept killing those. They were around the cat dish and mouse food stuff, too, where I dropped food and everything. Can't help it. I was killing the little ones and big one today. Pulling up a bunch of socks to... pulling up a bunch of a clump of socks out from between fish tanks and stuff make sure there's a separation. Like water drips on them. The condensation builds up. I don't know when that muted. Damn it. I hate that. Ugh. I don't know how long I've been talking on mute. It could have been just 30 seconds because of the cat. Cat just rearranged the page here. Oh, how do I shrink this? I don't remember how to shrink this. Let me see. I'm trying to look at everything else. What the hell? I know how to change the view. I don't know how to shrink this. Let's see. Wait. No. Cat's coming back. I'm trying to do two things at once here. I don't see a way to shrink it. I know how to switch if I had other people on the call to view them. Hold on. Let me see. No. Damn it. Anyway, there's going to be a lot of cool things in the future. They're going to start trying to sell mostly in things like cool places, you know, well-known, high-trafficked areas. If we ever get around to it, probably more to lefties that don't know what's going on. And plus robot fish and robot toys and pets. But the little floundery thing I was talking about was more like you make a little cookie out of dough, like a dough cookie or sort of a peanut butter cookie. And it's sort of oval, a little thick though, and a little lumpy. Kind of lumpy, not crumbly lumpy. I mean, like a wet version. Like it's got imprints of your fingers sort of indented into it. Sort of looks a little stony, kind of giving a sandy, stony bottom impression for it to blend in. And no fin sticking out the sides or no separate head. It's more like a clam that doesn't really have a shell. And it just kind of flounders around, flops around to kind of move. And it just kind of lands from place to place. That's only about 3 inches. That's like 2.5 inches wide. Maybe 3. And mine, I was looking at it funny because mine had a weird white, pure white patchy section on it for some reason. Instead of just be all uniform the way it's supposed to. And but the dolphin-ish thing, see, there is dolphin fish. Little fish tank dolphin fish, fresh water. They got dolphin nose. They're like dolphin nose fish, they call them, or something like that. I used to know what they were. And they get a lot of cool fish. Fish stores became pretty cool and exotic over time. By the time I was in my 20s, a lot of cool stuff, even fresh water, everything. And years ago, I had a vision of a shark. I was assuming it was in the ocean. I saw exactly what it looked like in that it was like a mini shark, like mini, was iridescent blue color. And it just looked pretty cool. I was like, oh, that's going to be cool. It already existed, and they already sold in the pet stores, but they weren't out yet, not where I went. And like that week or a month later or something, I finally got to that particular pet store where they started selling them. They're iridescent sharks, freshwater. I saw it in a vision. I was shown what's to come or what I was to be seen. I just assumed it was a thing in the ocean, like a real shark, but it was only like a few inches long. No, it wasn't. It was just a freshwater fish. It looked like a shark. I saw it exactly, 100% exactly of what it was. I see, but when you make assumptions, you make mistakes a lot. So I just simply saw what I saw. And now occasionally I've been seeing other things ever since. And now I'm seeing these future things. Hell, maybe they've already always existed. But you know how they're combining this, and they got glow cats and glow monkeys now and all kinds of things. And a lot of them are in constant pain or they die. But they're always creating new things, and that has never stopped, and it's not going to stop. And that will tie directly into taking your shots, won't it? To change you into little Eloys. Elon's Eloys. See, there's the ons and the oys, isn't there? The L's. The Eloys and the Elons, either way it's L, God L, isn't it? The L God. Then there's L-E, there's E-L and there's L-E, like the Spanish stuff, Latina. I know it's Latina, spell L-A, okay? Anyway, they're going to be pretty cool, but everyone's going to think that's a reason to keep promoting big corporations and go ahead with the smart cities and the future plans. And it's just going to be one disaster after the other, because suckers are going to keep falling for the good stuff. Just because one good thing come out of it here and there, it's all the agenda. See, none of this would go the way it went. We'd still do everything. We'd still go through all of this. We'd choose to. And it would happen by accident. If we lived according to our natural way to just keep trying new things and make mistakes, have things blow up in your face, things will blow up in your face, and they should. And it's a way to finally perfect fire and finally explosives and so on and so on. You're never going to get to the stars without disaster after disaster, problem after problem anyway. And if you have to tinker with genetics and have a major thing bad go wrong for a short time, then you have to tinker with genetics, because if you don't, somebody else will, and nature will anyway. Nature will bring you down eventually if you don't tinker with things. Now, you should do everything as safe as possible, of course. But everyone's supposed to naturally want to figure everything out and tinker, 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 and a lot of times it will be super miraculously good. And anything that goes wrong will be a solution. And if you just let people tinker more right away, there's immediately be a solution. A real doctor and a real scientist would really give you the real answer immediately. They'll know exactly what happened. And you'll have discovered a new way to control nature, your destiny, without the problem. You have to perfect fire in order to have, if you want a car. You had to go through the burn the place down here and there, trying to figure out fire. You didn't have a choice. People on the other side of the hill, or the other island next to you, and the other island next to that, and the other island next to that, and the other people on the other side of the pond, and the other side of the river, and the other side of the mountain, and the other side of the valley, were going to do it, not knowing you exist, and you not knowing they exist, and someone was always going to do it. Someone was going to have an accident, and, you know, someone was going to learn from it, get through it, have it become part of the culture, and going to keep growing and growing. Because if you don't do it, nature will eventually take you down anyway. Hell, you could just stay cavemen. You could just stay cavemen until the sun blows up. You could just stay cavemen. Just go ahead. Go live in a cave. Sure. Just go live in a cave. You can survive it. It's survivable. Hell, just eat raw food. Eat them alive. Grab a fish out of the pond in front of you. Eat it. Just put it in your mouth. Eat it. Hey, grab a mouse. Chew it down. Alive. You can do it. It's healthy. It's just healthy. You can do that till the sun blows up. and you'll have never learned a damn thing, never gotten smart about anything whatsoever, and eventually you're probably going to go under because there'll be a forest fire whether you learn fire or don't. Eventually there'll be a volcano whether you make an explosion from a nuclear bomb or don't. Eventually there's going to be a super hurricane whether or not you perfect wind turbines or don't. Eventually there's going to be a bio-destroying, all-eating bacteria sweep through whether you play with genetics or don't. And whether you perfect space travel or don't, the sun is going to die. Your time will be up. You're on a time limit. You have to get to each finishing line within a reasonable amount of time. And there's the word reason again. But anyway, to go back temporarily to Alexander the Great stuff. Now, a lot of the rumors on how all that developed come originally from Lemuria, Atlantis, Egypt, and then the Middle East dramas, all rehashing in a biblical manner the flood in pre-diluvian times and the sinking of Atlantis, or just another damn flood. And they wanted a new Atlantis the whole time, and they wanted it about logic and reason and what? Education. So eventually that traveled and traveled and traveled and spread eventually to England, of which was conquered originally and reconquered and so on. And then from England, you have people like Cecil Rhodes, who eventually at that time, a lot of conquering from the Roman times to England, English, England men, the same kind of men who loves trophy on their walls, hunting trophies and loves fox hunting. Would go to Africa and they'd explore Africa for their ancient gods, because that is their ancient past, of which they always talked about. And there they found the Anunnaki skulls in the mountains. I think Cecil Rhodes himself found them. And he was all about the diamond mines and slaves and gold and ancient secrets and Atlantis. And hell, he probably found it there. But see, what he was all about, Cecil Rhodes and the brotherhoods of that time, passed on down from the ages, from Alexander the great Greek, all the philosopher kings and Greek philosophers and so on, all the way to England, to Cecil Rhodes, a new place of reason, logic, intellect, invention, innovation, and mostly education. To get a degree, to go to school, to have schools. They already had schools. They had religious schools, and they had the secret work your way up to kingship schools, Masonic type schools. To get a degree, you get a degree in college. You go across the sky at one degree at a time, and so on. And basically, that's what college is all about. And that's basically what kings and queens rise to power is specifically about. The brotherhoods and the secret cults and Luciferians are specifically about being educated one step at a time. The whole problem with mankind is that mankind needed a new way to learn because every other way kept failing. They wanted in the universe a new revolutionary style of causing evolution, to uplifting a species, a race, to educate them in a certain way. They created school. They created kings and queens and kingdoms and totalitarian dictators. And to rise to power, you had to go to school, their school. You had to learn their degrees, one Masonic degree at a time, the rising and the, you know, up of positions to become this and then the next level and then higher and closer and closer. To becoming closer and closer to becoming king. No one could ever really become king except for the king and his family. And that was it. But everyone else, to rise up to power in parliament and everything else, you had to train for it in step after step after step. That was the original school. And they demanded schools. And the New Atlantis was a place of logic and reason and education. Cecil Rhodes carried on that flame, and he brought it with the, across the seas to Rhodes, Island, the Templar State, where they carried on their plans for a new Atlantis in America. Rhode Island is Atlantis. You see where I got? You didn't know where I was going. You had no idea I was going to say that. Rhode Island is Atlantis. It's the Isle of Rhodes, the Isle of Cecil Rhodes, the one who carried on the flame and torch and knowledge of the ancient gods being the Anunnaki tall cone heads from Africa, not South America, Africa, in the mountains, probably along Atlantis on the west, more western side, I believe. I could be totally wrong. Of Africa, which would be where the Eye of the Rakat is on the upper side, just below the Sahara Desert and close to the Atlantic Ocean, where there is an inlet to and from, fits all the descriptions. So Rhode Island is the new Atlantis, the education state of which a Rhodes Scholar typically gets you huge power, like the Clintons and so on. A lot of these people are Rhodes Scholars. You all heard, didn't you? That's Rhode Island. That's not Cambridge. That's not the Skull and Bones place in Connecticut. That's not Massachusetts. It's not Boston. That's not Salem, Mass. Huge big things happen because of Rhode Island. Rulers of the world live in Rhode Island and in immediate surroundings of Rhode Island. And of course, the capital empire state, other than to say like one of the main places, secret hideouts, Pennsylvania with the Liberty Bell and so on. You have Washington State and the state of Washington and the capital and so on. And New York, which is copy of the old York from the Yorks. And the Watchmen did mention, of course, I always knew they cut it up in precision. That's why it's all full of roads and road number 3 and road 23 road, you know, I'll see you on 23rd in second. OK, I'll see you there. Yeah, it's just they made a grid there. That's the Empire State. The Empire State is basically run by the main ruler states, kind of in conjunction with that in England and the Vatican. So it's an empire. It's part of the New Atlantis. But the New Atlantis, as far as the explorers go and the transfer of the flame from some of the people in power from England and more, the explorers, of which you keep seeing adventure after adventure after adventure for years, mostly about Africa until it became like South Africa and other like tropical islands and then volcanic island stuff and super adventures. All those adventures came from the same people as UNESCO and all that. What do you call them? The famous writers, the two brothers and everything else. Can't think of their names right now either, but Jules Verne and stuff like that, right? Yeah, no, the Luciferian scientists from England were run by all the underground people. So same with Cecil Rhodes, who went on adventures of and connections maybe to the Far East too, not sure. So anyway, one of their explorers, you know, when they were seeking America and India and all that, well, one of the main places they went by was, you know, Rhode Island. They settled there. It was pirates, secretly and not. And it's named after him, and therefore it's the Scholar Atlantis State. It is the New Atlantis. It's one of them. Just call it one of them. And that is why I am educated the way I am. It's the education state. I went to a bunch of our schools because I moved around a lot, like I keep telling you. So I know the lower versions and the higher versions. And our lower versions were a lot better than everybody else's around the damn country. We used to make fun of, oh, yeah, they're kind of slow, they're kind of behind. Our southern state is, not as good as that. In ways, they all made up for each other. They had different qualities. When I moved from the main place, I started out in school. They had to put me up a grade ahead. Because the schools I came from around you know, the rest of my state wasn't caught up to the main parts of the state. They were at least 1 year behind, and of normal class, and I took Head Start. So, and I knew relativity by the time I was five, but so Atlantis still is affecting the whole world one way or the other. And in Rhode Island is a bunch of islands because it's a road, the Isle of Rhodes, the Isle meaning it's an Isle of Islands in the water going up the bay, up the middle of Rhode Island. So we're like a triangle and we're surrounded by the rest of the triangle, like between Salem, Massachusetts, cutting straight through to Providence, Rhode Island, Warwick, and Newport, Rhode Island, where all the rich live and come and go to and from by water and air, and Hideout, and all kinds of tunnels under the bay, all kinds of tunnels under us. You got Quonset Point over there. Man, we got Magnetic Island, Physics Island. I don't even know if it's on the map anymore. I don't think it's on the map anymore. And a lot of things have gone on in and under Rhode Island. And then all the way through from Salem, Massachusetts in Boston, cut through right to Rhode Island, right past Rhode Island into Connecticut with the Skull and Bone Society people and all those colleges and stuff. Or that whatever the hell it's called, I forgot. Everybody, you know, Bush country stuff. So, and then of course that extends out and connects to New York, which is the capital state, and then others fans out. You know, New Jersey was the mafia, and the mafia went from New Jersey to Nevada. It basically bought and paid for by the government, your taxpayers, and now they own it and chopped it all up, and now we have a place called Area 51, and government thinks it can do just about anything it wants because, like, as if they own it. No, you never owned it. You're not supposed to own anything. That is the law. Federal or not federal, it's for the people. Anyone can go there and settle. And as people develop whatever they believe in there, they're going to vote on who they want for a mayor and a governor and a president. And what the laws are going to be based on just natural development, which is not natural. It's completely unnatural. So they had all the test sites there of the picked and chosen super conglomerate aircraft carrier people. So anyway, I have a lot in me, a lot of culture in me. And of course, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, but from the Alexander the Great side to the complete pacifist side of me, the educational side of me and the natural side of me, the future side of me, the primitive nature woods loving. Of course, one of the magazines I used to read and loved was Field and Stream. I read everything. I loved all of them. I used to make all the clippings and cuttings out of the newspaper every week. Having to do with cartoons, science, politics, interesting events, art, movies, and the fishing section, recipes, all kinds of things. So you could say I'm well-rounded, of which is a statement by the Brotherhood from Cecil Rhodes in the Education State, the New Atlantis. The whole future world was supposed to become rational and intellectual, reasonable, supposed to be the age of reason. And it's not to say you're emotionless. It's simply to say that your logic is not ruled by overreaction of fear. And you don't base logic on emotion in one sense, and you do in the other. In other words, everything you do should be for the purpose of having the emotion called love. And then you have, it's like, all right, you love your dog, you love your family, you love your white husband or wife or something. And, all right, so, or you love the universe. So now, okay, so now you have an intention based on a feeling, and now you want to do something with it. Now you want to go out in the world and do something for all them people and groups and pets and things, the world and nature. And So now you have logic. Now, okay, you have input. This is the situation. These are the problems. This is the data. This is the tests. This is the result of all these tests. These are all the tests we want to make. Here is where everything is. Here is where everything is not. Here is where we should go. Here is where we shouldn't. Now we have to use logic. Okay, because I love all these people, now I want to save them. And what do I do to save them? Now I have to piece all this together, build this stuff, get them to build this. So everyone's safe, everyone's healthy, everyone's happy, and we're having fun. That's using logic based on emotion. But the way people are talking about it, they're really missing the point. They keep saying people are being, they're being emotional. That kind of talk. No, you're supposed to be emotional. Logic is supposed to be pinned on and orbiting the emotion. It's supposed to be the correct emotion, though. There's hate and there's love. If you're orbiting love, then the rest of the logic and what your intentions on how do you go to get to happen in the world will be circling the right logic. You'll be using logic and reason for one good purpose instead of your logic and reasons, your goals being orbiting the central main purpose of hate, evil, darkness. You want to hurt everyone. You hate everyone. You want them in pain. You want to subdue them. You want to be better than them. You don't want to be worried about what they're doing at night while you're trying to sleep. You want all the land to yourself. So now your logic is, all right, now what do? I get all this information about them. Don't give them any information about me. I hide this. I'll kill them. I coerce them. I bribe him. Got them. I'll convert them. They're easy. They're suckers. They're scared and weak anyway. All right, I don't have to worry about them. They're about to die. We're going to knock them over with the electric stuff, cut their power over there. We don't have to worry about them. All these people are on oxygen over here. And we messed with the schooling over there, so they're going to be stumbling idiots. All right, so it is logic. They are being logical. It's just based on the wrong final logic, the wrong final emotion, the wrong intention. So, anyway, it's probably I got to shrink this page still. I can't see the time. Wait a minute. It doesn't seem to be a way to do it. Okay, if I do that. Nope, it's just large. Okay, it doesn't do anything. All right, let me see. Maybe here. No. I mean, I could change the background. I don't want to change the background. I want the page shrunk. Let me see. Nope. I don't want to change that view. Ah, damn it. I don't want to hit record. I don't want to view the profile. I don't want to pin anything to anything. What the hell do I do here? I don't know. Maybe if I... No. No, that's... Is that dust? No. No. Oh, damn, I can't read any messages. I can't read the thing I planned on reading. Wait, what's maybe here? No. Nothing. I seen how to do it in the past. Maybe here. No. No. Damn it. Oh. So, I don't know, I'd be able to read some messages. I can't get to the page I had up. I had Zero Hedge up and stuff. And, all right, let me see. I wanted to try to get in chat. I can't. Still, there's nothing there. Wait, maybe. Well, we'll try this. No, let's share screen. Damn it. No, there's nothing. There's nothing I can do. There's no way I can shrink. The whole screen is covered by... Wait a minute. Maybe use this one. I can kind of see the bottom now. Wait. Let me try that. Oh, what? Hey, now that's gone. How the hell do I get that back? Oh, damn it. I don't know when the show is going to end or anything like that. Anyway, there's some band here. I can't read who it is. Something about Regina Dugan from Two Feathers as well. Let me see. The big satanic statue thing. Hey, Zoe's in there. All right. I think she's on air now with us. Pretty sure. And, she is. Okay, she is. Our Zoe, Miss B, is a new host. Yeah. Welcome, Zoe. And, the Vatican. So Ransom was putting the pictures of the serpent mouth, head eyes, audience dome of the Church of Vatican or whatever it is, like the serpent's mouth thing, the Vatican City, May 7, 2019. And they worship the serpent, the reptilian. See, that means a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean we're ruled by reptilians, like as in an upright standing hominid. See, a lot of the ancient stuff to do with serpents at all had to do with, even when they talked about dragons, they were talking about snakes or crocodiles. A lot of the cults in ancient Egypt stuff all revolved around crocodiles. To survive a crocodile was a practice. And I forget where exactly around the pyramids and stuff. One of the practices was they'd have like a stone place filled with water. You enter into the water and you have to swim down and go under a wall or something and come out the other end. And so you have to survive the crocodiles. It's one of the tests. But it had to do with your vibration and all that. In other words, if you feared the crocodile, you were going to get eaten. If you had the right frequency, it just wasn't going to be interested in you. Or you were just simply going to make it through. So it was filled with crocodiles. But see, crocodiles were dragons. And dogs were dragons. And any serpent was a serpent and or a dragon. Any of them. All things that had scales were considered some kind of dragon or serpent. And the Kundalini force, of which they all would train to see eventually in some kind of mastership class or another, some kind of training or other, would eventually see the Kundalini spiraling, snake-like, glowing, spinal energy flow from your head down to the bottom of your spine. And sometimes they would see it as being behind and outside of your body along your spine. And other practices and other people would see it traveling inside the spine. They disagree. Most of the masters have something in common, but they all disagree about something major. You cannot believe any one of them. Not exactly. You cannot look at them as God or real masters. They're just copiers, and of course they do have a skill, but the skill is often given to them. It's not something they developed on their own. There are naturals, and there are people that were given the ability. Transfer of the flame. It was transfer of the power. Opening you up. They were giving you a gift. And anyone in training was often given a gift, opened up sometimes on purpose by force, sort of by force, given extra energy that was not gained by them, the person on their own. Some people are just born with it and have it. First of all, can be psychic all on their own, can be lucid all on their own, can have lucid dreams all on their own. They don't need training. The more advanced you are, the more you do things spontaneously and automatically. You don't need them. In fact, I say it's a hindrance. And then really they take away from natural development and naturally wanting things that are good on earth and having a good life and developing, making things better and better each time. Instead, they just want you to meditate away. Essentially, that's suicide. Now, is it good? Does it help you out in the afterlife? Sure, but it kind of makes you get to the afterlife before you die. You're going to die anyway. You're going to be there anyway. The question is, what did you do in your life? It's not about how did you meditate your way out of death, out of life. That means you did nothing all your life but try to leave life. That's what it means. Sometimes it uplifts you, gives you certain abilities, makes you be able to heal a little bit. Some super versions get you to be super people-ish, sort of. Damn, I still want to shrink this down. I don't like... wait a minute. How do I do this? I want to shrink this. I do not want this to stay like this. That's the phone. That's settings. Wait, maybe this. No. Damn. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know about the keyboard. Let me see. Look at that. Ooh. Okay, at least I got the bottom up. All right. Damn, it's getting close to the end of the show. I forgot the other takes I was going to have on Atlantis and stuff. Visions of the future. But anyway, I don't know. Could be the Statue of Liberty I was really on. Could be a symbol of the Burning Man, which in reality could really be a desert. Kind of seemed like it was opening up to some plains just behind where I was, where the disaster happened. I forgot the other ones. I think I saw a bunch of rain and floods coming, which it is now. I can't think of the other ones. Oh, and someone from chat seemed to have visited me as well. Maybe holding a sword. I couldn't. It was kind of dark. I just had the impression they were holding a sword. Not to chop my head off. That was kind of interesting. I don't know. Look for those fish. I want to develop them myself. I wanted to be a genetic engineer. I kept going from one stage to the next, to the next, to the next. And, in other words, just before that, I wanted to be an oceanographer. And then I wanted to be a genetic engineer. Then I wanted to study brains. And then I wanted to study reality. And, which really still would be brains, but dreams and everything. And the whole altered states movie kind of stuff, but not on the drugs version. Deprivation tank stuff, all kinds of things. And exploring the universe and proving or disproving all kinds of psychic ability and expansion stuff. And everybody just took up everything. It's just like all the, like I was talking about earlier, with all the events and symposiums. And it's like a lot of great speakers I met and like. And we've already heard every concept about was creation versus no creation. Aliens created us versus didn't create us. How old the Earth is versus how old it's not. Did it expand? Is it flat? Is it round? But did it expand? Did it shrink? Did it, like, are the continents drifting around? Continental drift, you know, it was Pangaea and then they split up and then drifted around. No, there's plenty of evidence for that. There is some evidence, some possibility that the Earth was shrunken and all the land was just one land, one piece, one continent. With no ocean or just ponds in between. And then, you know, so all the animals and all the evolution was happening while there was dinosaurs and stuff. And while we're all cave people, all mixing in together, all on the same smaller, much smaller planet with no oceans in between us whatsoever. So all the animals, all the birds, all the plants, everything permanently, constantly intermingled, permanently. For a long, 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 long time, constant, 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 constant. Then it split and the oceans came between us and we all drifted apart, part, 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 further, further, further. And then we're wondering what the hell happened with Atlantis. You know, did it sink? Did it rise? Was it just a simple flood? Probably was just really a glacial thing. And when the Earth starts to wobble, and too much ice forms on the poles, it gets imbalanced and shaky. And when there's different moments of instability in certain orbital patterns with the moon around it, around the sun and maybe the galaxy and just about going through a period of like a glacial period versus coming out of one and all that versus a tilt period or geomagnetic storm area zone in history or a flip in the poles, you know, all kinds of things could happen where any story, Atlantis is practically irrelevant. Just one little place that got flooded and went down again. So the whole Noah's Ark was the story of Atlantis, essentially. And this is one of them. Tons and tons and tons of massive floods. Civilization was just a whole bunch of stick people. Just generally a bunch of stick people in little huddles. Any major flood, and I mean any rainstorm, would have been a massive, massive superstorm, super flood of all the lands that they ever knew. Wiped them out many times in many lands or many, many, many eons and eons over and over again. Super floods just from normal rain. Okay, never mind the ocean coming up. Many tsunamis have happened. Many volcanoes have gone off. And we never had people being scattered around in primitive times would spread the stories indefinitely. And to them, it was super big, super powerful when it was just another average storm and average flood. And it spread and grew, and the story grew and grew and grew with the races as the races got bigger and bigger and bigger and older and older and older. Well, floods became less and less and less relevant the more advanced we got, but the stories stayed just as advanced as if they were just as relevant. They're not. It's probably just a stupid rainstorm. That's how things get magnified out of hand. On the other hand, there's plenty of reason to know we had massive turbulence on Earth, super earthquakes, and all kinds of things. So what the hell is the real story? It's everything is contradicting everything. There's so many stories completely opposing the other stories. It doesn't matter what you say or how you say it. There was a God. There was no God. This is the God. There is no God. It was a reptilian. It was the Greys. It was just Anunnaki. It was robots, like, you know, Solaris talks about. I sort of do occasionally. And the ultimate pinnacle. See, that's a barrier. The robot computer age of any species, any race, is a barrier to get over without destroying, self-destructing. I do not believe. There's so many variables between the good version versus the bad. Of you're supposed to stay biological at least until you've completely perfected computers, soul science, all wisdom and knowledge. All battles have already been over. Versus biology, being in control. You're not supposed to build your own controller. You're not supposed to intentionally build a controller for you to have to listen to it. Now, you should put in a bunch of program stuff. Nothing is supposed to take you over that you built. Maybe way later, and it depends how evil and stupid you really actually are and how careless you actually are. See, every group gets to the point is start building robots and computers, and they get bigger and bigger, smarter and smarter, faster and stronger, more and more able. And there always will be a major outburst, like a communist uprising, massive genocide. The robots will try to take over. It does not mean they're sentient. Now, there are such a thing as sentient robots, I certainly believe. It's sort of an end goal. It's not a middle ground goal. We're in the middle ground phase. We're going through a phase that nobody can make it through without being destroyed. We're going through the computer age. You're going to be destroyed. You're too careless. You keep building your own destroyers. You keep raising your own family Marxist commies. You keep funding the schools. You keep giving your tax money to totalitarians who pretend to be nice and pious. You're careless and you're trapped and you're conditioned and you can't escape it. You're too weak to get out of it unless I see otherwise, and I don't think I'm ever going to see it, but I want you to prove me wrong. The brotherhoods have always gotten their way and they're always going to get it. They have had and always have had an agenda to create a super race in the future. They have a super goal, super goals, and you have no goals. You want to go golfing and fishing. You want to play sports. Well, big whip-de-doo. Remember what I said about productivity. There's no production. There's no produce in anything other than farming, growing foods, building or getting building products, or making tools. That's it. That's all you're really supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be in complete control of everything, be completely responsible for you and your own life and your whole future, be in complete and total control of all robots, all computers, program them to the nth degree, but simply to do a task and not anything else. Make a whole bunch of toys, be able to do up to so many things, but again, not have a personality. Now, someday, when you've perfected the understanding of what consciousness is and how it links to our biological brain, if you understand reincarnation, if you can see astral spirits, or even at least the aura, I think I just killed another ladybug on me. It's on my hand. I kind of went from one hand to the other, and, it fell. Great. They keep landing on me in here. I kind of try to save them, but sometimes I kind of forget. I put them in a pocket to let go outside, and I don't find them in there next time sometimes, or I put them in a little bag and then, just throw them off in the wind. Oh, wait, there's a... Oh, no, that's... Well, it might be to me, might not be. I can't shrink this. Wait, there was a way to just sort of tap or something. Wait, maybe over here. Maybe that. No, maybe here. No. Damn it. I can't see what I was going to read. Anyway, all right, there's still some more stuff in host chat. I forget what I kind of got thrown off. Oopsie. My mistake, your fault. Oh, anyway, I did get on Tony Minot's show that he often grabs in Keith, Arizona's spot after mine tomorrow night. Technically, Monday morning, midnight, Sunday. And, the vegan ex-doctor was on talking again, and Tom. And there were some things I'm interested in, yes, to say, no, I'm not a vegan. I'm probably not going to be a vegan. Not completely, anyway. Maybe I might someday. I've heard all the vegan arguments in the past, and I've heard all the counter arguments, and generally, it still turns out you're going to be healthier and smarter eating meat. Now, obviously, there's going to be the right kinds of meat the right way. I have an issue not with eating or not eating meat. My issue is cruelty. I'm anti-cruelty. So I really don't want to be anything to really suffer for anything I eat. That's really the big thing. And I'm primarily a meat eater that occasionally craves nothing but vegetation. And I can have a good middle ground. And one of the things I came up with as a teenager is we must eat everything, possibly even bugs. And there's a lot of things against us eating bugs. And they talk about protein, protein, protein. And yeah, it's a different kind of protein. And same with the argument of vegetation. Vegetarians with the argument about protein from meat versus protein from plants. And it's not the same protein. It's not about that. It's not about protein. There are nutrients in meat, certain types of minerals and nutrients, like I believe it was creatine. There's all kinds of things outside of meat. People keep talking of vitamins, and then they started talking about vitamins and minerals. But basically, when you take a vitamin mineral supplement, you still call them a vitamin. So people are talking either vitamin or protein. Protein, protein, protein. Calories, calories, calories. Or fat, 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 and calories. Or vitamins. No, there's all kinds of millions of nutraceutical in-betweens. Fiber, besides talking, they just keep you narrowed down. You're so narrow, they keep you on a narrow path. You need things for your brain development that's in meat, specifically meat. Now, maybe there's better stuff in some vegetation and all that. And maybe you don't need it to live. But to really be a true, quick, clear thinker, on alert, ready to go to defend yourself and so on, you need to eat meat. That helps your brain out a lot. Now, I don't want you to get your arteries all clogged up, of which does not always get clogged up from things like meat, you know, and oils and all that kind of stuff. There's arguments against any vegetable oil, any kind, even cold pressed, okay, that it's bad for you. Hell, vegetables, plant juice. You don't want held all kinds in there. It'll clog your arteries, they say. Hydrogenated oils from it as well. I mean, that's from tampering with it. But, you know, it's all about the poisons and certain enzymes and acids that cut into you that cause the abrasions in your arteries and stuff that actually cause things like oil and cholesterol and stuff to stick. And the cholesterol and everything is already pre-damaged because of all the things they do to feeding the cows and feeding animals, and everything is damaged. Everything is. Now, they talked about cheese. Now, I definitely cut down on cheese. I already cut out milk. Oh, man. Oh, that I'm going to do. And I'm still probably going to eat some meat. Proteins are in everything, different kind of proteins. I meant to explain that better. All right. Hey, don't it? Sure, keep this beat high. Keep it alive. The left. Hey.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest.